Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Jonathan Fisk here, getting ready for some Worldview Watch with Pastor Warren Worth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri, teaching you to take what you believe, why you believe it, and engage the world around you. Pastor Worth is going to come on in just a moment, but first, you've heard him and us talk about in the past, a movie is Genesis History. It's a new movie developed to help take a scientific look at the evidence that is connected to what we can know about the book of Genesis and the world around us, filled with all sorts of scientists who happen to believe that the best explanation for what we see is not macroevolutionary theory, but is in fact, well, what Genesis actually says. We have a copy of this to give away for free to the first caller. Jenny is standing by to take your call. If you call now, and so you got to run and get to the phone as quick as you can. And I'm going to say, good morning, Pastor Worth. How are you doing today?
I am well. How are you, Jonathan?
I am kicking.
Well, we hope that people will take advantage of the opportunity to get that video. I saw the movie. It's very well done. There are 12 Bible-believing scientists that are interviewed in that movie, and they show example after example after example of evidence in the world around us, in the created universe, that point to God as creator and show that evolution really doesn't stand up to scrutiny. The theory of evolution cannot really explain the complexity and design that we see all around us in the universe. And the Bible's account of creation certainly does tell us who made us, and what that all has to do with what we see today. Because now what we're looking at in the world around us is a beautiful creation that's been contaminated by sin, but that's why we need Jesus. And it all connects to Jesus, doesn't it? That Jesus, who is not only our creator, is also our redeemer, who entered into this sin-fallen world as our brother, true man and true God, to be our Savior, who died for us, who rose again, who ascended into heaven, and has gone to prepare a place for us and has promised to come and take us to himself again. And so, you know, the whole story hangs together. It's what the Bible teaches, and, you know, it matches also nicely with what we observe. And so, yes, I hope our listeners will call in so they can get a copy of that DVD, Is Genesis History. So as we go on to talk about our topic today, we're going to talk about design in nature. There's an article at the Answers in Genesis website, answersingenesis.org. The title of the article is The Motor of Life. It's written by Dr. Joe Francis. Dr. Joe Francis is chairman of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences and Department of Mathematics at the Master's College. He earned his PhD from Wayne State University and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Michigan Medical School. He is also an assistant professor for Liberty University Online. And this article entitled The Motor of Life is about flagella. Inside your body are trillions of little hair-like whips attached to most of your cells. They are constantly moving, pushing debris out of your body and sensing the world around them. A couple of centuries ago, biologists assumed that these were useless remnants of bacterial evolution. Now, medical researchers have found those ideas are dead wrong. These structures are essential for life and are found in virtually every organism, from algae and plants to reptiles and mammals. The complexity of these structures, which contain functional motors, astounds evolutionists who cannot explain how so many intricate interacting parts could arise together. Yet they remain doggedly certain an answer is within reach. Just one problem. They also have to explain how these motors adopted such different essential roles within each creature on the planet. How could creatures survive the development of critical systems by trial and error? There is a logical explanation. From the beginning, an infinitely wise creator and life giver designed these systems so he would be clearly seen in the things that he has made. Ever since biochemist Michael Behe wrote Darwin's Black Box in 1996, the whip-like appendage on bacteria called the flagellum has taken center stage in debates about the origin of life. But the debate gives the mistaken impression that the flagellum is a single type of machine that basically helps bacteria move around. This could not be further from the truth. Flagella belong to a larger group of structures, and they are not all the same. Under a microscope, your cells and bacteria might look similar on the outside, but the internal parts can be very different, and the way that they are built is different too. In fact, evolutionary biologists now admit that these types of complex machines are so different that one could not have evolved from the other. both designs must have been created by God in the beginning, since all creatures today have the inherited one or the other design. The bacterial flagellum is a long spinning whip-like structure that pokes through the membrane and cell wall and moves like the propeller on a boat. Bacteria construct these flagella by building a motor inside the cell. Then they attach the motor to the whip, which is made by sending proteins outside the cell. Once complete, its shape and design won't change. The other main type of whip-like organelle looks a lot like the bacterial flagellum, and confusingly, it can also be called a flagellum, but it is very different. Another name for this structure is the cilium. To avoid confusion, we will call it that. Bacteria don't have cilia, and other organisms don't have the bacteria's flagellum. Cilia are not rotary engines, but motorized machines made of 9 sliding cables called filaments located underneath the cilia's membrane. The filaments slide up and down inside the cilium, causing it to bend back and forth like a bendable paddle. Paddle locomotion is completely different from the rotary movement of the bacterial flagellum. Cilia are not built the same way as bacterial flagella either. They require very different proteins that work inside the cell rather than outside, and the proteins remain at work throughout the life of the cell, constantly changing the cilia's length. The interior design and motion of the bacterial flagellum and cilium could not be more different. Yet in some cells, cilia perform the exact same function of moving the cell around. Throughout nature, we see that the Creator often made structures that look the same on the outside, but can be very different on the inside. And this is just another example. In the online article, then he has a graphic to kind of show you how these things actually work. And then he goes on, explaining the origin of two complex motors is a challenge all by itself. But perhaps more intractable is how the cilium supposedly branched out into so many different life-saving duties. Cilia play many critical roles that have nothing to do with locomotion. For instance, recent evidence suggests that cilia serve as antennae that sense the world around each cell. They are also essential in the function of the eyes, ears, pancreas, kidney, and brain. Strikingly, cilia even play a role in the early stages of human embryo development, helping move organs to their respective locations, such as the heart to the left side of the body. No gradual evolutionary process can adequately explain all these various functions among cilia. Creationists easily explain it based on the principle that the Creator created a general design feature and then used it over and over. If the Creator wanted to show that one designer has made everything by creating similarly in his designs, why did he make the bacterial rotor so different from the cilium? One explanation is that the body needs to detect invaders. Many invaders are single-celled creatures that look similar to our own cells. So God gave bacteria a different flagellum structure that is easy for our immune system to detect. The presence of these nanomachines reveals just a little bit more detail about our Creator's imaginative mind. His handiwork shows that we are truly knit together in fine detail, as the Bible says in Psalm 139. Like the psalmist, we should recognize his creative genius, worship him, and spread the news to others who need to know him as well. And again, this was an article called The Motor of Life from answersingenesis.org, written by Dr. Joe Francis. And so kind of an interesting article. And as so often when you study living things, you see the intricate design that God, our designer, has put there, and none of this can really be explained by evolution, but it certainly points to the wisdom of our good and gracious God who created us. Dr. David Menton has a series of DVDs that are available from Answers in Genesis on human anatomy, and he shows in every part of the body and every system in the body God's marvelous design. And speaking of cilia, he shows, for example, how inside a woman's fallopian tubes, there are these little cilia that have to move in a very specific wave-like pattern to move the egg from the ovary down the fallopian tube so it can be fertilized. And just reading that whole, or watching that DVD and listening to Dr. Menton explain it, you know, he shows example after example in human reproduction that God's design is seen everywhere, and each example of this is a miracle in itself. So when we talk about the miracle of birth, for example, there are many, many, many miracles of God in creating us in just the right way, so that all the parts work together so that our bodies work and can reproduce and life can go on. All this because we have a loving source of life, our Heavenly Father, who created us in the beginning, and after we messed up creation by our sin, you know, he did something about that by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom personified, you know, the wisdom of God and the righteousness of God seen in the one who came down from heaven to save us from our sins, who lived a perfect life for us, who suffered and died on the cross to atone for our sins, who rose in victory from the grave on the third day, and who has now ascended into heaven and is at God's right hand and is coming again to receive us to himself. So when we consider all these things, what's the basic message? Well, we heard yesterday with the ascension of our Lord that Jesus said that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. So even as we talk about creation and the wonders of God's creative design that's seen all around us, we should use that as an opportunity to lead people to the truth of God's word and its message of law and gospel, that we may repent and receive that forgiveness of sins that's found only in Jesus Christ, who is our creator and our redeemer.
One of the things that struck me when I first learned about the flagellum was exactly as you said so well, Pastor Wirth, the marvel, the stunningness of what God has done. I mean, it just breaks the mind. The fact that we can study this at all is quite exciting, but it shows also how, can I say, ignorant those who first started coming up with evolution were of the order that they thought they were studying, how little they could see, and how kind of boastful to think that this would all be explained so simply when it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. The irreducible complexity of things is something that we don't just find in the flagellum. You find it in other animals, the butterfly, the eye of the cow particularly, all these kinds of things. There's a book, are you familiar with Darwin's Black Box?
Yeah,
so that book has kind of set the conversation for this. I know there's a lot of debate about it, and more have come back and forth, but it is a beautiful thing. And as you also said so well, that this created world means enough to God that he did not leave it in its decay, in its brokenness. With about 30 seconds left, final thoughts for the day?
Indeed, that just calling all our listeners to look at the world around them, to make not to be afraid of science, but to see that in every detail of creation, the wisdom of God is portrayed and his goodness, and intended for us to find him who reveals himself most especially in his word, and in that word tells us about the life that is available only in Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, our crucified, risen, and ascended Savior and Lord.
My guest, Pastor Warren Wirth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri, helping us out to distinguish creation from evolution here on Worldwide KFUO. Thanks for being with us today, Pastor Wirth.
My pleasure.
Universe, I can tell you this with all certainty. Not only are we created, we are redeemed. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done that fine work, he is coming back. It could be today. It might not. Might be tomorrow. In either case, whenever it is, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.